defend your ship. I, your host Stevie, will be taking a lot of water breaks during this and trying not to sneeze and or like snuff into the microphone.
Hi, I'm Raina. I am not sick, just bemused by that intro.
I thought it was just to give fair warning. I am deeply gross right now. I spent the entirety of February, except for 1 month. All right, there you go. All right, 1 week? I had 1 week where I was alive this month. I have been dead for the other 3 weeks. The first week, week and a half, really, I got myself whiplash because I fell while trying to throw a snowball, and I landed on some ice, and then I fell onto some concrete, and then I fell onto my shoulder on the concrete, and I slid into a porch. So I couldn't move for, 5 days, and then I spent another, 5 days just recovering from the pain, and I was on a lot of muscle relaxers, and it turns out muscle relaxers can make you just, forget shit and be loopy, which is why we missed 2 weeks of episodes this month. And then I caught a cold as soon as I got better, and then I had my top surgery revision. So I've got stitches in places where you don't want to have stitches, guys. That's all I'll say about that. But yeah, it's been a month. It's been a time. I hope that February has been a real month for you guys and not like a bazonkers hell dimension. Raina, how's your month been?
Okay. Very, very busy.
Good.
Doing all the things. March is going to be much, much slower, which makes me happy because I have to plan for 2 new acts.
Woo!
I'm doing a Sailor Saturn act that I'm working on and getting things 3D printed and doing things.
That's so exciting. I also have a lot of recommendations for things that you should do with your time in March while your life is slower. But how about you go first and you can tell me what you're into this week.
So I did sort of a look back at the fandom history of Raina. This past 2 weeks, and I actually found a fanfic that I enjoyed that had to do with our topic from last week.
Oh my god.
Which was Professor X and Magneto.
Wonderful. What was the fic?
So it's called, it's a series of fics. It's called The City Is at War. It's named after a Cobra Starship song.
Oh my god.
And it's by They Don't Move. Did you ever see the British series Skins?
I didn't, but I know of it.
So, it's basically, imagine Riverdale, but with, 10 times more drugs.
Oh no.
And sex. And
okay, that would be why I haven't watched it. Too much drugs and sex.
I guess not 10 times more drugs, but it's basically party kids doing what the fuck they want in a soap opera-esque setting of just having sex with each other, doing drugs, going to parties.
Awful. At least the Riverdale kids are kept in check by the rampant corruption in their town. They can't do whatever they want, you know?
They can't do whatever they want, but it's basically, looking at the lifestyles of, party kids in their teens and, soap opera-ish British
Which decade was that again?
This was the aughts.
Oh, boy.
This was the mid-aughts.
Party kids.
This was the mid-aughts to the early 2010s.
Hi, yikes.
Also, one of the main characters, from the first two series was also in X-Men First Class, and he was the Beast character.
Right. Okay, yes. So are you telling me that there is a Skins AU of First Class?
Basically.
Wow.
So it takes place in a fictionalized version of Westchester County, where instead of being a lot of different towns, Westchester just has one single high school called Westchester High. And Charles is the rich kid that rules the school. and Eric is his bad boy boyfriend, that they are super in love with each other, but they are non-monogamous and come up with ridiculous schemes to get other people into bed with them.
Oh my god.
And so they kind of have this small polyamorous family of the X-Men First Class characters, and they all, like, have sex with each other and do drugs, and just shenanigans ensue.
I'd rather watch that TV show, honestly. It sounds pretty good.
And it's a non-powered AU, so they're all normal teens. They're just normal teens with a lot of money and no fucks to give.
Almost the same as having mutant powers.
And I really loved this when it came out in 2015. Oh, so man. It was in my bookmarks. And I forgot it existed until I refound it recently, and I read the whole thing.
Did it hold up?
Yeah!
Okay, that's impressive.
Yeah. There's also a lot of porn in it.
Well-written
porn.
There's people using condoms, there's people using lube.
Yes.
Okay.
Great. Yes.
That's
yes.
what we like to hear.
Yes. And then there was a sequel series that was, I forget the name of, but the author decided that she wanted Charles and Eric to still be together, but she didn't want to fridge Magda, which was Magneto's in-canon wife, who was the mom of Pietro and Wanda. So then they all have a triad together.
Nice, nice.
So I read that entire series in, like, 2 days.
That's impressive.
So that's the rabbit hole I went down. The other rabbit hole I went down was, I went back to the Shintenyu I live journal that I used to read when I was in late high school, early college, because that was, like, where I got all my Shintenyu fic before AO3 happened.
Aww.
And they used to have a forum that is no longer a thing because it went the way of the dodo, like many fanfic forums did from the early aughts to the mid-2010s. But I used the Wayback Time Machine to at least see some of it.
Aw, how's it looking?
I didn't see all of it. It was kind of depressing because, like, there was only, like, a couple pages saved.
Yeah.
So none of the links worked. So I just kind of, like, saw titles of things and had to search for them on fanfic.net, which, if you know anything about my feelings about fanfic.net, are infuriating because fanfic.net doesn't let you search anything.
God.
So, it was a time.
Oh, well, it sounds like you've had a very productive...
I had a very productive fandom week.
Do you want to ask about my fandom experience?
What are you went through this week?
Oh my god, I'm so glad you asked. I mean... Yeah, okay. I got into the Pyramid Scheme fandom.
The Pyramid Scheme fandom?
Exactly. I was actually going to ask you to say, Steve, what do you mean a Pyramid Scheme? And you just delivered that so well without me even having to ask. Thank you. I will tell you. Okay. So, on Netflix, there is a Chinese drama called The Untamed. Yeah, those of you who know what this is, you're going, oh my god, or like that in a different voice. Okay, so... The Untamed is based on a novel called Modao Zushi, and I'm not pronouncing that right because I don't have the pinyin in front of me. I'm sorry. And so you've got The Untamed, also known as CQL, based on MDZS, the novel. MDZS also made into a cartoon and a comic and an audio drama. So this is why we call it the Pyramid Scheme fandom. And then on top of that, once you get into it, you have to, like, evangelize it to other people. It's like a curse. You can't stop. So I'm gonna tell you, Reyna, and all of our listeners, you have to stop your entire life, stop everything you're doing, and go on Netflix and watch this entire series. It's like hour-long episodes. It's 50 of them, and it's all subtitled.
50?
It's all subtitled, and it's in
50
Chinese.
Hours?
Well,
50
you know,
hours.
They more like round out to like 45 minutes apiece. But when I was bedridden with whiplash from my snowball incident, this is what I did with my time.
50 hours.
Roughly. It's roughly 50 hours. And that doesn't even count what you're going to put in willingly to read comic and the novel and maybe watch the anime.
Yikes.
Yeah, and all of the fanfiction. I mean, the fanfic is great, the fan art is great. Some of you are like, this is that fucking crazy Chinese drama I've been seeing all the fan art for. Yes, it is. It's beautiful. It's amazing. I might have downloaded Chinese Duolingo because of it.
Wow. Yeah. This is deep.
I went in so
this is fucking deep.
I went in so deep. I made my own primer that now has like 400 notes on Tumblr. I'm pretty proud of it. It's Sonic Kitties, the Untamed Primer. And I will link it in the show notes because I'm really proud of it. And it's like a truth universally acknowledged that the first two episodes are really hard to comprehend if you don't know what you're getting into and if you're not used to watching things in Chinese. So I recapped the first two episodes in the important plot lines, like that you have to get out of those episodes to enjoy the rest of the series.
So what is the basic plot of this ridiculousness?
I'm so glad you asked. The basic plot is there's this like, we'll call him a supervillain.
Okay.
He is widely assumed to be a supervillain. He gets reincarnated.
Okay.
Not exactly reincarnated. This guy performs this, like, he gets resurrected, depending on the version you're reading, either into this dude's body or, like, the guy swaps his body, like, gives it up to bring back the evil yelling patriarch.
Okay.
Cool. So he comes back to, like, exact this dude's revenge. But then along the way, he solves some other mysteries and, like, gets to the bottom of, you know, how he became branded as a supervillain. And then he also gets to fall in love with the one guy who doesn't think he's an asshole, who has spent the last 16 years pining for him after he died.
Wow.
It's great. And the really cool thing about this show is that it's like a reverse queerbait, or like an inverse queerbait, because the novel is dicks out, I'm told. Like, there is some fucking...
So you didn't read the novel?
I'm reading the novel now. I'm on, like, chapter 7. And that's, like, there's... The gay happens, for real. But to get the show past the censors, they had to, like, turn all of it back into subtext and pining. So you get to have your cake and eat it, too. Like, you get to have all of this great subtextual pining and, like, oh my god, oh my god, they're having so many repressed feelings, it's delicious, but, like, you also know that, you know that it's true. Like, those really are their repressed feelings. They really do want a bone. It's all true.
Wow.
It's amazing. And, like, not only that, but, like, the fact that they want a bone is honestly tangential to, like, a lot of the other shit that happens. Like, there's this, all of this really intense and, like, heartwarming and soul-crushing sibling drama. So if you really like, families and family dynamics, there is literal canonical accidental baby acquisition in this show.
What? Yes. Baby acquisition.
And I don't like babies, number one. I also, okay, I think it's understood on this podcast so far, perhaps, that I do not like dogs and I do not like babies. Number one, the main character of this show doesn't like dogs, and I have never felt more safe. Number two, I don't like babies, but the cutest baby in the entire world is in this show. And if you like cute babies, like, I don't think people come after you being like, you gotta watch this gay shit, but also there's a baby in it. I feel like you don't often say that. Here's what I'm saying to you. You gotta watch this gay shit. There's a baby in it. It's great. It's the cutest baby in the world. He clings onto everybody's legs, so he's called Legby. Not in the show. We just call him that in the fandom. So. Yeah. That's the crackling of some crab wontons. We're trying to get away from a cat, if you heard that. Yeah, so highly recommend. It's amazing. I have, like, rarely do you put so much effort and, like, time and, like, emotional energy into a show and you, like, get back what you invested. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you spend the time, like, you give the show the benefit of the doubt. You're like, all right, somebody I really fucking trust told me to watch this. Hans Beckhart told me to watch this. Hans Beckhart is, like, the grandmaster of this fucking pyramid scheme, I think. And is writing some great fic for it already, so obviously you need to get on this. And there is some really great fic for it, too. Like, there's fics about accidental baby acquisition. There's fics about the characters writing self-insert fanfiction. There's fanfictions about Taoist sex rituals. Although this one is new and ongoing. It's only 3 chapters in, but the writing's really quite good. Anyway... Any other questions for me about my tips and tricks for this pyramid scheme?
I thought I was obsessed with some fandom.
Mm-mm.
But that
No, when I go, I only go hard. I don't fuck around when shit this, especially not when shit is this good. Like
I thought I was weird for taking a deep dive down the Miraculous Ladybug fandom, but this is.
I've literally downloaded 2 different language learning apps, and I bought a composition notebook so that I could, like, write characters on the train to memorize them.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. Thank you. Because, like, all I learned from the show was how to say shut up and whatever, and I feel like that's not polite.
Well, damn.
Yeah. Anyway, you should watch this. Please watch this. It's been the entire... How long has it been? Okay, we're 15 minutes into this podcast, so this isn't the topic. I would turn this into the topic if you let me, but I won't. So, the actual topic today...
Our actual topic was going to compare and contrast 2 of the biggest trash shows out there right now.
And they're related.
They are related.
They're trash cousins.
They are.
They're trash cousins. Yeah, they're like raccoons and possums.
Yeah. So if you don't know what we're talking about, we're talking about The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and Riverdale.
Yes. I will be representing Riverdale.
And I will be representing Sabrina. Because I watch Sabrina, but don't watch Riverdale. And you watch Riverdale, but don't watch Sabrina.
That's correct. I have watched 1.5 seasons of Sabrina, and then I got bored and stopped and started watching something else.
That's fair. Betty Brash made me watch, like, the first 6 episodes of Riverdale, and I was like, why are you making me do this? And stopped.
I mean, how am I even supposed to, like, are you gonna eat that wonton during our podcast? Alright, I rescind my apologies for my cold, because Raina's eating a wonton right now.
Continue.
Over the crotch? Oh my god. Okay, so, fine. Fine. This will like help you keep your mouth shut while I defend Riverdale. All right. I do not have a defense of Riverdale. It's a garbage show. I call it my guilty pleasure, and people tell me no, you shouldn't feel guilty for watching Riverdale, and I'm like, no, the guilt's part of it. I enjoy it. Like, it's like being Catholic but for TV. It's terrible. Like, nothing that happens is believable. Nothing that happens is realistic. Nothing that happens should happen. And yet the show convinces you somehow the more you watch it. Like, does the show convince me? Who knows? But the show believes in what it's doing so hard, even when what it is doing is the stupidest, most nonsensical, like, fucking, for example, one character in prison trying to organize a football match, saying to a boy who has been in prison for, like, a long time, you've been in prison, so... you don't know the epic highs and lows of high school football. And, like, the fact that those words were uttered in that order on television in, like, a money-generating medium, and so boldly, too, it's almost poetry. It was like, this is like if Drill, like, of Drill Tweets ran a show. And I can't think of any higher praise than that. Like... I'm not current in the show. I tend to, like... I actually was watching this week to week for a little bit, but I just... It's honestly not... For me, it's not good enough to watch week to week. Like, I lose interest if I'm not just, like, binging it all the way through. And plus, I like to watch it in the fall, because I just... I don't know. It has good fall ambiance. Yeah. It's not like it's good. It's just that it is so... It's not good, it's just perfect at what it's doing. It's like it turned the after-school special into an art form. It really did. Like, it's beautiful, it's got all of these different, like, it's so artistic, and, like, a couple of my friends have pointed out that it's, like, every single character is living in a different show. Like, there's a character who's living in a film noir show, and there's a character who's living in, I don't know, just different... They're all living in their own little worlds, basically, and then they come together and mash into this one ridiculous high school experience.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I have plenty of suggestions for how this show could be less absurd, but...
I mean, I know it's basically CW trying to do Twin Peaks.
Yeah, and I think that that's not like a... Like, it's... and not like they're trying to do it, like, to be edgy, but I think it's legitimately an homage where they're like, yeah, we really like Twin Peaks, and we see no reason not to, like, carry on its legacy. Yeah. And, because it'll do that. I have not watched all of Twin Peaks because I couldn't, I don't know. I've tried
it's
to
a time.
I've tried
it's
to
a time.
It, like, three times. It's not, I don't know if it's going to happen. And, like, I'm really busy trying to learn Chinese right now, so I just don't have time. Yeah, I don't know. Like, how am I supposed to defend this?
I mean, what specifically do you like about it, I guess?
I don't know. I don't really know. which is a joke for anybody who understands the first segment of our podcast. I don't know. Like, not even as a defense mechanism. We straight up don't know what it is that draws me to this show. I have no excuse. I guess it's just that I never know what to expect from it. It's so weird. It's so committed. It's very beautiful. Like, they do a good job with, like, the lighting and the camera work and everything, and it's dramatic, it's fucking weird. I put it on in the background, but then you're so drawn in because, like, why is there an underground fight club in prison, and why are these high schoolers in it? Like, what? And, like, whatever happened to that trunk from the first season that was in the back of the car or whatever? Like, what? All of these questions. And, like, why the fuck? Like, how do you make D&D into a drug cult? Like, what?
Well, that probably is based off in the 80s that they thought people that played D&D were Satanists.
No, my parents totally bought into that. But to see it made into a plot line on a TV show about high schoolers was pretty weird. Yeah. What do I like about it? It's not about, this is not about love, okay? This is a carnal relationship. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reasons I like Sabrina. Well, as you know, I love me some good sci-fi and horror,
mm-hmm.
and dark fantasy.
Would you say that this is sci-fi, Sabrina?
Well, okay, sci-fi may not be the right word. I guess young adult horror is the best way to describe it,
mm-hmm.
because it's based off, obviously both Archie and Sabrina were originally comic book characters,
mm-hmm.
and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is specifically based off of a Sabrina comic called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and it's sort of trying to do a horror take on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Because if you know anything about Sabrina's original comic book run, and also, like, the 90s spinoff show they did,
mm-hmm.
I don't remember what network, but the live-action show that they did with Melissa Joan Hart, that is much more, like, sitcom, comedy, like, very lighthearted, and this was sort of trying to get to a much more fantasy, horror-esque type of place with Sabrina.
Yeah, and to kind of get it on the same level as Riverdale in terms of this, like, heightened reality.
Yeah.
Like, sort of a level of absurdity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as somebody who has watched a lot of Supernatural shows.
Supernatural, perhaps.
Supernatural included. Over the 10 years of my fandom career. That shit always draws me in.
That's fair.
And so I guess the things that it pulled me into Sabrina are probably a lot of the things that pulled you into Riverdale. It has a very specific aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's technically modern day, but everybody dresses like they're from the 50s. And, like, people rarely use a cell phone.
Yeah, the lack of phones in Riverdale is a huge issue for everyone.
It's also a huge issue in Sabrina. Like, people have maybe used a cell phone once the entire time.
I love it. I love that they just conveniently cut out technology just for the drama.
Just for the drama. But it's very aesthetic. The lighting and set design are amazing. They do really good monster work.
That's true.
Really good monster
work. Yeah, some of them were like a little too much for me.
And the characters, at least like from the beginning, like a lot of them are very appealing. Like Sabrina herself is like an interesting... Kieran Shipka definitely does a good job. The two, I don't remember their names, but the two women that play Aunt Zelda and Aunt Hilda are very, very charming.
Oh my god, I know her name. It's Miranda Otto.
Oh, that person who plays Aunt Zelda.
Yes.
I
only know her name because of Lord of the Rings.
She was in Lord of the Rings?
She was Eowyn.
Oh. I'm not a Lord of the Rings person, you know? Ambrose is very funny and charming. They don't put in Salem as much. I think they wanted to get away from, like, the whole talking cat thing that happened in the sitcom, because Salem in the show doesn't, in the Netflix show, doesn't talk. Yeah,
she talks to him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so he very rarely shows up, I think, because they, in the comic book version and in the show version, Salem is much more like a familiar. And, like, so they kind of, like, he attacks people and is, like, a monster. So they, I guess they kind of see Salem, again, with the phone thing, they see him as a deus ex machina that they don't want to overuse and see too convenient.
Cell phones being a deus ex machina.
I know. Ugh. Well, because they really want to commit to the 1950s aesthetic so hard.
Which is so funny because it's just not the 1950s.
It's not the 1950s. And yeah, and the fact that they do actually have a trans character,
yes,
in the show, and queer characters in the show, and I think one of the things that annoys me about, well, there's several things that annoy me. One, that the plot goes all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Two, that people don't really learn their lessons.
Uh-huh.
And that on one hand, they want to, I guess they want to, like, hold up a light to organized religion in general, but they're doing that by making a fictionalized version of Satanism.
Which is actually pretty chill. Like, if you're going to come for Christianity, just come for Christianity. They deserve it.
Yeah. Like, and also the fact that, again, because, like, it's a satanic coven of witches, like, their ideas of sexuality are much more lenient than, like, Christian sort
my
of...
My family. Yeah.
So, it's kind of absurd that so while, like, they have, like, orgies on Lupercalia and,
yeah,
like, stuff like that, Sabrina still is like, oh, I want to just have a boyfriend and I don't want to have sex yet. And she constantly has been flitting from boy to boy and all of her relationships are horrible. And I just want to, like, be like, chill.
Right, like, why is she being...
You're 16, chill.
Like, why is she being limited by, like, heteropatriarchal Christian notions of morality and sex when she wasn't raised with them?
Because television.
Because television.
Because
yeah,
television.
Right, they've created this world in which they don't really have to follow the rules of our society, but then because it's a television show in our society, they have to anyway, which is sort of a...
And it's also funny because at this point, I'm pretty sure everybody but Sabrina has had sex.
I mean, like, I'm all for having a main character who's not, like... It's nice that in contrast to Riverdale, they have a show with a main character who's, like, not that comfortable with sex. Because, like, in Riverdale, fucking everybody is having the best sex. And I'm like, there's no way that 17-year-olds are that coordinated. Like, first of all.
Well, like, that's the other thing about Sabrina, is that it's interesting that, like, there's definitely, like, a lot of hormones and lust, but there isn't a lot of sex.
Yeah.
And that might also have to do with the fact that because it's not a network show and they only have, like, 10 episodes, 8 to 10 episodes a season, they don't focus on the sexual aspect so much.
Yeah, they're like trying to focus on actual plot and character development.
But even the plot and the character development don't make any sense.
But you still watch this show. And
I do.
Still
yes.
Enjoying it.
Yeah, I like. Well, and I think that's the other thing is because like with CW shows, they have to have 22 episodes a season,
yes.
Which is a lot. Whereas again, Sabrina, like each season they've had 3 seasons so far, and each season only has like 8 to 10 episodes.
Yeah, so like they've got the content so far that Riverdale would cover in a season.
Or yeah.
Less. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's something you can like binge in a weekend and like you don't have to keep coming back to it again and again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that like there is a mystical aspect and monsters and hell and Lilith is enough to keep me at least somewhat interested.
That's fair. So you like, so we've established that these shows have plenty of similarities in
yes.
terms of like the tone and the like heightened reality, the absurdity, the teenagers. But you like Sabrina, I like Riverdale, and we really haven't crossed over into each other's territory.
Well, so Sabrina keeps making references to Riverdale.
Yeah.
And in this season, they actually go into Riverdale, but they don't meet any of the characters.
Uh-huh.
They basically go onto the Blossoms Maple Farm.
Oh, God.
And release, you know Herod from the Bible, King Herod?
Yes.
Yeah. So Herod's crown ended up in Riverdale in a maple tree on the Blossoms farm.
That is deeply unlikely.
And Ambrose and Sabrina chop into the tree to get the crown. And when they disturb the crown, what? King Herod comes back to life. So
I really don't know what's more absurd, that or the prison fight club.
But like, I guess for me, the suspension of disbelief is, it's easier to suspend it because it's all mystical and magical and monsters anyway.
Right, whereas
versus kids having a fight club in prison.
Which is actually not that unlikely. Which is the really scary, that's the thing that always feels like Riverdale to me is like a horror show, not just because they do introduce horror elements and like American Gothic elements, but because a lot of the things that they do are heightened reality, but also kind of plausible. Like, they do things where you're like, oh my god, that's skeevy, no one can get away with that, unless...
Well, I think that's where Riverdale takes its, like, notes from Twin Peaks, because the teenagers in Twin Peaks were doing ridiculous shit. Like, the main character... Well, Laura Palmer is arguably not the main character, because she's dead, but Laura Palmer was literally going to high school, working at the beauty counter at the local, what's that word?
Mall?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But, like, those big, like...
Strip mall?
Like, what are... The type of short... Department store.
Oh,
she
God.
Was working...
Okay.
Okay, so she was going to high school, working at the beauty counter at the local department store, doing Meals on Wheels, volunteering to give, like, food out to like homeless people and to like sick people.
Okay.
Also working at the brothel across the
what?
Across the country line in Canada, and had 2 boyfriends and a cocaine addiction.
So she was failing.
No, she was like a grade A student. Like, that's the thing, is that like,
oh, so it was the cocaine.
It was the cocaine. It was all the cocaine.
Got it.
So like, and, like, I actually had a discussion with Clitoris B. Talkless about this, where, like, Twin Peaks in its own way was sort of riffing off of the wholesomeness of Archie and, like, the, like... Well, because, like, original Archie was super wholesome, and so, like, the idea of, like, what lies underneath this wholesome sort of veneer of, like, suburban, quiet
cocaine.
Town life. Yeah, probably cocaine.
But, and now, of course, Archie is riffing off Twin Peaks.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And also, Betty's mom, I don't remember.
Oh, I love her, Alice.
I'm trying to think of her actual name. It's something German.
I don't know.
I think it's Madchen Amick. But she was a character in Twin Peaks. She played Shelley.
Oh.
Yeah, she was the girlfriend of Laura Palmer's ex-boyfriend.
Wow.
Who worked at the Double R Diner.
Wow.
Who was also cheating on her abusive husband with said boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
It was...
And was she doing cocaine?
She was not doing cocaine.
I don't know how she managed it.
Shelley. Yes? I don't know. People are mad at me right
someone
now.
Someone tell us no. Okay.
But yeah. Yeah. So, I think for me, that all just seems too ridiculous, whereas with the horror and speculative fiction elements of Sabrina, I'm already like, you guys are going to hell and dealing with demons and Lucifer and Lilith, like,
yeah.
I don't really, like, they aren't having, like, fight clubs or anything. In fact, like, the high school parts are really the most normal,
wholesome
parts of the show.
Yeah, maybe that's where the show loses me, is that those elements are too wholesome for me. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say wholesome, but they're normal.
They're normal. Yeah. And, like, maybe that's the part that loses me. Like, maybe I really like that high school in Riverdale is a horror story. Because, like, I didn't have a great high school experience, and it's not like a part of life that I love seeing portrayed in an idyllic way. Although Riverdale portraying everybody as like deeply sexual and sexy and coordinated bothers me, because I'm like, there's no way.
Not necessarily idyllic. Like, they don't portray high school as idyllic, but it's like, maybe it's also because of my anime background. I'm very used to like seeing stories about people with superpowers that, like, have to be, like, superheroes or serve some sort of function to save the world, and then they also have to go to high school.
Like, a mundane life. No, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched all of Inuyasha. I'm I'm well-versed in the mundane.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, because there's just something about Sabrina that didn't grab me. And
that's
part
fair.
Of it was, actually, part of it was too scary, I will say.
I mean, I feel like it gets less scary as it goes on, because
yeah.
It becomes less about Monster of the Week and more about the overall plot, the politics of hell and the politics of the coven
and maybe I'll pick it up again when I run out of Riverdale this fall. I just, last time I tried to watch it, I got two episodes into the second season, or like a couple of episodes into the second season. And I don't know, she was having this stuff with the boyfriends, and I was like,
yeah,
I don't give a fuck about your
that's
boyfriend.
That's the things that I don't care for.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care about her love interests.
Right, which isn't to say that I, like, don't care. Like, which isn't to say that I care more about the love interests in Archie, except that I guess I do, because I kind of, like, Archie's straight trash, but... I really like Jughead, because obviously...
I feel like everybody loves Jughead,
especially
though.
Especially us fucking queers love Jughead.
He's that... Like, I joked that of the few episodes I saw of Riverdale, it's like, I dated different versions of Jughead in high school.
Yeah.
Like, those were the boys I dated.
Right, of course. They dress like lesbians. And, like, Betty is beautiful, and Veronica is beautiful. Like, I hope those ladies go far in their careers, because they're both lovely. And Josie has her own show now, but she's amazing.
She has her own show?
Yeah, or, like, she's going to be on a show with somebody else, but she's moving to a different show. The actress and the character are moving to a different show in the
That
family.
Might be the Katie Keene spinoff that they're doing?
Yes.
I don't know.
That might be it. But there's the gay character whose name I can't even remember right now, and he's in love with that guy Moose, and I don't know what's gonna happen there. And the guy's name is Moose. Like, I guess I genuinely do, like, enjoy all of those characters in ways that the characters from Sabrina didn't like grab me.
Well, I guess the thing that frustrates me, like, as we mentioned, there's a lot less sex and sexiness in Sabrina because it's shorter and they have to get to the plot. But, like, yeah, a thing that definitely annoys me is that, like, so spoiler alert for anybody that didn't watch past season one, but Sabrina and Harvey break up because she comes into her witch powers and they just can't be together because their lives are too different. And she starts dating this dude, Nick, who is part of the coven.
Who's pretty cute.
And he's bi and, like, is non-monogamous and, like, basically, like, the magical version of, like, the stereotypical bad boy that you wanted in high school.
Yeah, you know who on that show is actually hot, though? Who plays the head bitch with the... What's her... The leader of, like, the bad bitch posse.
Oh, are you talking about Prudence?
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody loves Prudence. Everybody loves Prudence.
She's the Jughead of that show. in terms of, like, appreciability.
But yeah, and so Sabrina starts dating Nick, but she doesn't, like, they don't really do anything with their relationship.
They don't really have any chemistry!
Like... Here's this dude that literally, you know...
She should just date Prudence. It would be great. It would be
like... Well, they sort of hate each other, so there's a whole other thing to that.
It would be great. It would be like Dreary. It would be amazing. People love Dreary. Like, don't
eat it. But, like, here's this queer, like, satanic dude that you know is good in bed, and, like...
You could be pegging him, but you're not.
It's like, yeah, and the last season... was, like, her saving him from hell, and then him having PTSD because of it, and then him going, like, back to his, like, BDSM ways, and her, like, I mean, to be fair, like, he didn't tell her, so that was construed as cheating, but, like, the fact that he was, like, just... I don't know.
How old is he actually? He's not actually her age, right? He's actually older.
No, I think they're the same age. Because I don't think it's the thing with... Because Ambrose is like hundreds of years old, but I think Mike is like her age. Okay. But...
I do like Ambrose.
Ambrose is great. So, Ambrose and Prudence are dating, and that's everything I wanted.
Oh, shit! Okay, because I was going to say, I lied, and Ambrose is...
Except they sort of... break up at the end of last season, well, but I'm hoping they get back together.
I don't really even see how that could, like, last, but I was gonna say Ambrose is the Jughead of that show, for real. Ambrose is great.
Both he and Prudence are queer. They have British accents.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, that's great, and, like, I honestly, I don't think I have feelings about anybody on Riverdale to quite that extent, because, like, I don't know. Nobody on Riverdale is quite, like, they're both very beautiful. Not to say that people on Riverdale aren't beautiful, honestly. I can't remember her name, but, like, the girl who plays Betty is, like... I'm like, why do you look like that? You're so pretty.
But, yeah, so Sabrina basically, like, breaks up with Nick because he has PTSD from being in hell and decides to go to Sex Demons to, like, basically have... BDSM scenes with them to make him feel better.
That sounds great.
Without telling Sabrina, and Sabrina's like, you cheated on me. We have to break up.
Oh, no. God, that's wild.
And, like, there's another dude that's hitting on her, but, like, it doesn't really go anywhere because she's fighting against him for the crown of hell. And Harvey's still dating her best friend, Roz.
They're cute together.
They're cute together, and I don't dislike them. But it seems like where the show is trying to lead back to, and I've mentioned this on previous episodes, is so Sabrina's still a virgin. And it doesn't really seem a reason for why she's still a virgin, besides that it seems that they want her to lose her virginity to Harvey.
That's a silly thing to, like, focus so hard on in a show, I guess.
Especially in a show where, like, there are queer and polyamorous and non-monogamous characters.
Yeah, and orgies.
Like, a big plot point towards the end of the third season is that Roz gets turned into stone and Harvey tries to, like, do a spell where you like kiss your true love and it like turns them not into stone, but then you can't like love them anymore, and what? It doesn't work because like this spell sort of, the way that they interpret it is that Roz isn't his one true love, and it's like, but what, why does that matter? Like, why are you going back to this idea of one true love when it's a show where, like, it's been proven people can have
multiple partners
and multiple relationships that are different with different people? And, like, it seems that the show keeps harping on the fact that, like, Roz is insecure because of Sabrina's relationship, ex-relationship with Harvey, and she, like, insists to know that, like, Harvey doesn't love Sabrina anymore, and it's like...
Oh my god, that sounds exhausting. See,
it's like...
This is why I would rather watch a guy with, like, a skull for a head go around terrorizing high school students who are on drugs playing D&D. That's why.
And, like, that part is definitely exhausting to me, and it definitely feels like it's the typical high school monogamous, heteropatriarchal drama that you expect from a CW
show.
Same shit
you had from Buffy.
Yeah, exactly! Exactly!
You've already done your time, girl!
People keep doing me dirty!
I mean, they haven't, like, I don't know, like, in, they're not really better about polyamory in Riverdale, because, like, there's still problems with, like, who am I dating? Oh, my boyfriend's in prison. We broke up. I'm dating this other guy, and he's really cute, and he's, like, he would do anything for me, which is poor dude. But now my boyfriend's out of prison, and I'm gonna go back to him.
Well, and going back to, like, the whole idea of Prudence and Ambrose relationship, it's like, Ambrose had a boyfriend before he got with Prudence.
Oh, I remember her. I remember that guy.
Yeah, and so, like, their definition of, like, love and companionship is so much different than Sabrina and her friend's version of, like, love and companionship. Because yeah. It's like, we can be in a relationship, but it doesn't have to be this one true love type of deal.
Right, like, we have a relationship. We don't have an ultimatum. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I would rather see more of that on television. And, like, I guess the thing that does stress me out about Riverdale is I'm like, I don't want to see these poor stupid teenagers, like, get their friendships torn apart just because they're all, like, dating each other. And that does upset me while I'm watching it. I'm like, what the fuck is gonna happen?
Like, which is why they should all just be polyamorous and have, like, that sort of family thing in the X-Men fanfic that I read.
Well, and the weird thing is that they actually, weirdly, they kind of do. Like, even when they fight with each other, like, they'll have fights, like, internally in their relationships and then in their, like, friendships, because their friendships all, like, crisscross and intersect, and they really do have this sort of, like, foursome of, like, friendship, and then they're just, like, they're, like, two couples somehow in a polyamorous foursome where they never have, like, sex with the other couple, but they're very deeply emotionally involved with the other couple.
I bet there's fanfic on AO3.
Oh, wholesale. There's wholesale fanfic on AO3. I don't know. I wouldn't tell you, oh my god, you have to watch Riverdale, it's amazing, because frankly, I'm too busy telling you, you have to watch The Untamed, it's amazing. But...
Well, and I haven't really read fanfic for Sabrina either, because, like, there aren't really a lot of, like... It interests me as a show, but that's not really a show that I ship anybody with anybody.
I feel like I would encourage you to watch Riverdale, maybe? I don't know. Like, I totally hear your points about why you're not, why it doesn't draw you in. But I feel like there's more speculative elements to Riverdale than maybe you've seen in those first six episodes.
That's fair.
Because I think that show starts off with this very, like, kind of, like, high school, kind of American Gothic, kind of like a, kind of, you know, gritty, somehow gritty. I don't know how that show managed to be so gritty. But as it goes on, their speculative fiction is kind of more in, like, people as monsters, so, like, serial killers and people who are abusing power. Prisons, the prison system is, like, a major antagonist. The prison system as a whole, the rich are a major antagonist. Like, they have these concepts set up as villains of the show, rather than just single people, and then like different people can represent those concepts at different points. Usually it's fucking Hiram Lodge because that guy's got a great face, frankly, and you want to give him screen time, like you just want to.
Well, and I think like Sabrina also does a similar thing to that, where like the main villain isn't just monsters, but it's the patriarchy.
Yeah.
Where it's like Sabrina has to fight against the sexism within her coven, within hell, like within
I'm sorry, I have to cough.
That's fine. But like
the whole episode.
Like, and not just Sabrina, but like her aunties and like Lilith, like Lilith's whole story is about how she was basically used by Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And like Lucifer promises that he'll like one day, like she'll one day be his wife, and then he reneges on his promise because he wants Sabrina to be his wife.
Yikes.
Also, who is also sort of his daughter, but they don't really explain it.
It sounds terrible.
But yeah, so like, and yeah, and it goes back to the whole Apocrypha thing about, you know the story about Lilith in the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah, where she basically was Adam's first wife, and because she refused to be subservient to Adam, they created Eve, and she was, like, cast out and became in league with Lucifer and became the mother of all demons.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Because she had better shit to do.
She had better shit to do! Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, Lilith is definitely hilarious, and, like, she's sort of that, I don't want to say anti-hero, but she's playing both sides at the same time.
Yeah.
And is, like, on, by last season, is both Sabrina's, like, ally, but not.
It's so rare that you get to see, like, women in those roles in yeah. television. So that, and she is playing it wonderfully. I think she said something about, like, her cheekbones mean that she always has to play, like, witches and bitches or something. And I'm like, yeah, they're great cheekbones.
Like, I think she literally has a line where, like, because she has to become Sabrina's mentor so that she can, like, try to rule hell and defeat, take on the three tasks, and Sabrina never does what she's supposed to, and Lilith's literally like, I hate you. Why can't you just behave? Like, why can't you just follow directions once?
She really can't. That girl really can't just follow directions once.
Yeah, which is what is leading into the fourth season and time paradoxes.
What?
Yeah.
There's gonna be time paradoxes?
Time paradoxes and possibly Lovecraftian horrors.
Wow.
So
that's all right, man. I would love to see fucking time paradoxes in Riverdale. That'd be wild. How they figure out how to explain that without it actually being sci-fi or fantasy. That'd be hilarious. Because like literally every time something's happening on Riverdale, you're like, okay, this one it's actually supernatural, right? And they're like, nope, just rich people and drugs again. Okay.
Well, do you care about spoilers?
No, not even. All
right. So TLDR, Sabrina defeats. Sabrina defeats Satan the season before last season. He gets imprisoned in Nick's body. Sabrina gets to leave hell. Lilith becomes queen, but she wants to save Nick, so they go back to hell to save Nick. They're demanding, basically, the kings of hell want to replace Lilith with a sand guy that they create from the sands of hell. But Lilith is like, no, fuck you. And so then to mitigate this, Sabrina decides that she's going to take on her birthright after all and say that she's going to be the queen of hell and Lilith's going to be her regent. But she has to take on three tasks to prove that she deserves to rule.
That's a lot.
Satan comes back. I forget exactly. Oh, he... they get Lucifer out of Nick. But then they put him in Blackwood. He escapes from Blackwood. And Sabrina basically creates a time paradox where she saves everybody from the pagans. But instead of fixing the time loop, she decides to send one version of herself to become queen of hell and the other version of herself to live a normal life with her aunties in Greendale. And that creates a time paradox, which may summon Cthulhu.
Okay.
So that's where we're at.
Okay, I thought that when I was opening this with, like, the supervillain gets reincarnated and then gets to solve supernatural mysteries with his boyfriend, I thought I was opening on a weird note. So now it looks like we're closing on a weird note, because I don't think anything either of us could say could be stranger than Time Paradox summons Cthulhu!
Well, not necessarily Cthulhu specifically, but some sort of Lovecraftian horror.
The essence of Cthulhu, perhaps? Like, what?!
Basically, shit's gonna go down.
That...
and it's all Sabrina's fault.
I can't promise you that I'm gonna watch that, but I will say, that is way fucking wilder than anything.
And nobody but her and Ambrose knows about it, because Satan... because Lucifer and Lilith are down with her in hell, with her being queen of hell, and she... her aunties are just... oblivious.
That girl has way better things to do than worry about boys.
I know, right?
Way better things to do. Okay, well, I don't know that anything I can say about Riverdale will actually top Time Paradox summons Uta Cthulhu, so I guess, I don't know if there's really a winner here, but that might have won, because, I don't know, I mean, Riverdale's done some weird fucking shit. You know what? Keeping your dead brother's corpse
what?
In the greenhouse.
What?
Or whatever. That was pretty weird. And, like, what was it? A prayer chapel in a chapel? Yeah. That was
what?
Pretty fucking weird. And
what?
Then this weird plot that I actually haven't finished with, like, there was a... there, you were actually a set of triplets, and one of you, like, ate the third one in the womb, so now his spirit lives in a doll, and the doll is haunting our house.
What?!
That was pretty wild.
What?
And then the part where her relatives come over and she's like, you guys suck. And we totally murdered your husband and now we're feeding him to you in a pie. They didn't actually. They did murder him though. Like, these teenagers murder so many people. It is bizarre how many murders happen on this fucking show. What? And everyone's just like, well... guess it was our turn. Guess we murdered someone.
What?
Guess it's time to just, like, shove his body down the river and
what?
Then tell his family they're eating him.
What?
What? Yeah, I said I thought I couldn't top Cthulhu, but maybe
what?
I can.
What?
Me over here like, I don't know. I don't know. Riverdale is just not that weird. Yes, it is. Gotcha.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yikes on bikes.
Well, I don't know. Who's to say if there's a winner here today? Is it telling your relatives that you're feeding another one of their relatives to them? Is it haunted doll? Is it dead brother's corpse? Is it Cthulhu? Who's to say? Well,
I mean, once you go to Cthulhu, you can't go back.
Probably not. I don't think Cthulhu would let you go back.
Yeah.
Well, I hope everyone's enjoyed listening to this. If you have some thoughts about Riverdale and Sabrina, do you watch both? Do you watch one of them? Do you think that we're crazy for watching either of them? Likely. Do you want to watch The Untamed and come talk to me about that? Of course you do. It's the best thing on streaming right now. I'm not even fucking with you. It's amazing. My little sibling just finished the series the other day and, like, live vlogged the whole experience to me. They had a great time. So, you know, there's a lot of people that can, that will testify, frankly, will stand up and speak their truth about how good this show is. Okay, I'm done. I'm done plugging the pyramid scheme. I'm done. No, I'm not. I'm really not done. I will keep talking about this until someone stops me, like, physically. But thank you for listening to our show. If you want to talk to me about The Untamed, we're on Twitter at defendyourship. And you can also email us at defendyourship@gmail.com. And does Raina want to say anything so that I stop talking?
I mean, I guess send us more fanfic?
Yeah.
Always send us more fanfic.
What fanfic would you like to request from our fans today?
I mean, I'm always down for more Sailor Moon fanfic.
That's great.
I'd like to be reminded of more good Charles and Eric fanfic. I'm always down for Buffy fanfic. I need more Buffy fanfic in my life. It's been woefully missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I already have a really long list of CQL and MDZS fanfic to read, but if you have more that you'd like to recommend to me, you should do that. And maybe I've read it already, and then we can just talk about how much we love the show. You should definitely talk to me about that, because I'm really not going to shut up. Raina, do you think you're going to watch this show? Or have I, like, ruined it by talking about it too much?
I have so many things to watch.
This is the best one.
I have so many things to
watch. What else do you
have
to watch?
I mean, all the anime on my list.
This is better. What's on your list?
I thought we were ending the episode.